Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
What's up, MLC? Ange and I are outside of the legendary baseball park Fenway in Boston, Massachusetts. We are finishing up a couple day conference here. This morning you have a special treat. My friend Pat Butcher is going to be bringing the word. He's as legendary as Fenway Park. So please give a warm MLC welcome to Pastor Pat Butcher.
I want to introduce my wife, Brooke. You want to come up here and share with your heart today. We're glad to be here. Very honored to be here.
Amen. What a blessed praise and worship team that you all have. Amen. I know it's so, praise God. Let's give him a hand. That's good. You know, it's so easy to kind of take it for granted, but I'm telling you, what you have here is not in a lot of places. There's such a freedom and a liberty, and it is so anointed. I mean, it sounds like there's like 15 people up here or something. The bass was thumping my chair there. It was pretty crazy. Well, listen, I am so blessed to be here. My husband and I were so thankful here. I just wanted to pray over the service today. So would you bow your heads? Father God, we are so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We are so thankful that, Lord, we just are blessed. And thank you, Lord, that you arise. You do arise on the inside of us. And Lord, I thank you that in this season and hour of our country, that we will take a hold of the foundation that you've put on the inside of us. And Lord, we'll release your words to this world with boldness. Lord, that we'll take the light that you've put on the inside of us, and we will go out into this world. And we will not be afraid, but we will be bold, and we will speak the truth in love. Lord, I thank you that you've got things under control. And I thank you that no weapon formed against this country will prosper. I thank you, Lord, that you've got our government in your hand. And I thank you, Lord, the word of God says that the king, the heart of the king is in your hand, and that you shall turn it the way that you will. And Father, we pray today for this country and this nation to be set on course, a destiny ordained by you, Father God, not by humanism, not by the hand of man, but by the creator, the one who founded this country to begin with and who created this world, you. Father God. So we thank you. We will not back down as Christians. We will not shut our mouths. We will be bold and we will speak the truth, Lord. And we will take our place in this hour and this time and speak, Father God, what you would have us to speak. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every light that is in this room. I thank you, Lord God, that we will stir ourselves up just like David said. He stirred himself up in the Lord, and we will take your love and your message to this nation, to the sin and to the death of this world, Father God, and we will speak redemption and light and healing and your love to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Oh, you can be a little more excited than that. Say, you're better looking than last Sunday. Everybody do it. Amen. All right. God's good. Amen. We're here today. Brooke and I are honored. I met Pastor Josh, I think in 2003, at a leadership meeting and recognized the call on his life as a young minister, then met Angie, then got to meet the beautiful children, and just become a part. I'm honored to sit on the board of this church with John Nuzzo and Jerry Weinzierl. This is, I consider, one of the cleanest, healthiest young churches in America. Brooke and I get to travel quite a bit, and we're honored. And this is my 30th year of pastoring, and I'm just proud to be a part. I love you guys, and I'm very thankful for you. So give yourself a hand clap today. Amen. We're here today just to honor basically three entities or three things. I want to speak a little bit on the power of honor. I think our nation needs to return to a place of honor. How many can agree with that? Where we honor one another. We honor people in position. We honor authority. A place back where we get where we honor people in uniform, whether they're fighting for us and defending us, whether it's our police and fire, EMT, on and on and on. We honor our schools, our teachers. The thing is, guys, we brought things over into a lack of honor, and we've attacked people instead of the principles of which they stand through confusion and deception. And our enemy is not a person in a position. Our enemy is the devil and the confusion and lies of hell. How many can agree with that? We don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and power. So I believe there's going to be a great return to this nation in honor. First of all, honoring God. We're not that smart. It's all about God raising up this nation. How many can agree with that? And then honoring the house of God or the church of God, honoring each other, loving and respecting each other and honoring each other. And doing that, we learn how to honor our husbands and wives. We learn how to honor our elders again. We learn how to honor those in authority and love and respect and honor our children. And then thirdly, I believe there's an honor, especially to the household of faith and to the leaders of the household of faith. October is Pastor Recognition Month or Appreciation Month. And Pastor Josh had no idea what I'm going to do. I do this on behalf of the board today. The other two men are in total agreement. And he asked me, so what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to teach on honor. And he said, great. But how many here love the Lord today? You're here because you love the Lord? How many loves this house? How many loves this house? This is your home. This is your house. You'll defend her. You'll protect her. You'll provide for her. You do that because God's called you to more life. I mean, how could you have a better church name than more life? I mean, say amen. I mean, I'd like to go to a church that's more deaf. Huh? I mean, or more average or more mediocre or more cold or, boy, this thing. I'll be glad this thing's over. How many say amen? But you're here because the Spirit of God has drawn you. You're here because God has answered questions in your heart and your life. You're here today because you see a vision that's larger than a person. You're here today of all different ages. A lot of times in churches that have a lot of growth and have a lot of a spiritual force and push, you see a lot of people 40 and down. I see some beautiful white hair out there. And where God says there's white hair, there's wisdom. So anybody's got white hair today, you need to take them out to dinner and listen to them. How many say amen? And need to love on them. But we're here today, Brooke and I, because we love you guys and we're honored to be here. And we're so thankful for what God is doing. You know, honor is a tremendous thing. Whatever you honor, you're going to value. If you honor your tennis shoes, you're going to put them up where nobody else can get them. If you honor your car, you're going to park it at the end of the parking lot so nobody can ding it. If you honor, whatever you honor, you're going to pay attention to, you're going to cherish, you're going to value, you're going to esteem, and you're going to provide for. And we're here today because we honor God. You've given your life to this point to serve God. Some of you pushed against family. Family don't know why you're serving God. Family don't know why you're going to that church. Why don't you go to the church we were raised in? How many's got something like that going on? All those different things. You're here because God has sent you, and you're here because the power of honor has brought you. And today we're going to be talking about some things concerning honor. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says this. It says, honor the Lord with your first possessions and the first fruits of your increase. So in other words, God's first. And it says, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, we need a little overflow this morning because I got up and I saw on the news where something happened at Happy Valley. It wasn't very happy for Buckeye fans. I had no idea. Matter of fact, I quit betting years ago. But anyway, the line was that blocked field goal attempt and that running back. But let me assure all the Buckeyes. How many's a Buckeye fan in here? Okay, how many could care less? How many's not sports? How many, I wish you'd shut up about sports. How many here just don't care, flip, let's get out of here and go eat dinner. How many say amen? Where are we going? Well, Ohio State's going to wind up in the playoffs, so I just want to encourage you right now. They're going to be there with one loss. Everybody agree with that? Everybody agree with Pastor Pat? And I'm an SEC guy. I mean, I'm from, you know, Kentucky, and we don't apologize for our rings for basketball. Don't have any for football. But I will tell you this, I appreciate Coach Saban and Alabama, but I'm tired of Alabama winning. I want Ohio State to beat Alabama. So I'm with you this year, okay? So when that happens, y'all can call me and I'll come back up and we'll talk. So the Bible says the church is filled with plenty, overflowing with people coming to Christ. The reason you're here, the reason we're full of this service is because something good's happening. God is being honored. God is being obeyed. People are coming to Christ. They're having things that are broken and rejected and twisted and marred, being healed by the love and the power of Jesus. Again, as Brooke talked about this morning, the power of praise and worship. How many enjoy just being in the presence of praise and worship? And just getting there corporately and doing those things. And when we honor God and we honor His Word, good things are going to happen. And the truth is, we're here today because we love God and we love this house. Now, I want to spend some time talking today about honoring Pastor Josh and Angie. Again, I've known them now 13, 14 years. I've watched tremendous growth in them. I've watched them overcome stuff. I've watched them grow in things. I've watched them raise their children. How many knows being a pastor or a leader doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to have problems and trials and tests? How many knows, matter of fact, the pastors and leaders are on the front line of what the devil wants to destroy? It's 400,000 pastors this morning loose in America. I guarantee you they're on the hit list of the devil. I'm not trying to give the devil airtime. I'm just trying to share today that we as churches and we as the body of Christ, we've got a place of support, a place of prayer, and a place of standing with what God says are our leaders. Again, how many are thankful for Pastor Josh and Angie this morning? Amen. Well, let's pray for them right now. Father God, we lift them up to you in Boston. They're having a good time. They're at a seminar. They're growing and learning. And Father, we just as a family believer speak blessing over them. We speak just open doors of favor over them, and they'll enjoy that so much, Lord, that they'll come back refreshed and encouraged in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know, Proverbs chapter 15 says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to hit you with a bat when you make a mistake. How many grew up like that? If you make a mistake, God's going to hit you with a bat. No. The word fear means awesome respect and honor. And honor. How many wouldn't do certain things, or when you did them, you felt like you dishonored your mom or dad growing up? How many would say, I'm not going to do that, or when I did it, oh, man, I feel bad for me, but I dishonored my mom and my dad. There's a point in a place, not of works, but out of grace and love, where I'm not going to do that, and when I do, God's going to convict me with the love. I'm not going to keep doing it because it dishonors my mom and my dad. It dishonors Father. And it dishonors what God is doing. That's why it's so wonderful being a family, believers that love each other. How many notices and feels the love of this house? The acceptance. How many here's a part of small groups and connect groups? How many here's a part of coming and being a part of the worship team, children's team, youth team? And all those things are growing and evolving. You know, Jesus come back to his hometown. And he began to minister to his hometown in Nazareth. And the Bible says he couldn't do any great work there. The Bible teaches that the only healings that occurred were like coals and small things. And then he began to speak about a prophet doesn't have honor. A prophet has honor everywhere except in their hometown amongst their own family and their own friends. I want to encourage you as this church continues to grow, because I remember back when it was about 50 to 100 people, and now we run 600 to 700 on a weekend. Probably everybody that comes here at least once a month, once and a half a month, as we would figure in pastor's terms, there's probably over 1,200 people coming here right now. And this thing is on its way to a lot of folk. How many say amen? Don't despise the days of where we were and where we're at, but look with encouragement of where we're going. And just celebrate and love the people God puts in your life. And just prepare yourself to expand and to stretch out and to be ready to be able to minister to all these people in our future. But let's enjoy today. This is the day the Lord has made. Do you realize that 94% of churches in America are in decline? Come up here, man, honey. Would you come up here a second? Does that look like decline? What's that look like to you?
Blessing, growth.
Blessing and growth. How many knows that's what God wants for everyone? Amen? Thank you, honey. Well, if you wasn't so good looking, I wouldn't keep you asking to come up here. But anyway, amen. If you look like me, you'd be sitting there all the time. But anyway, all right. I'm sure I'll deal with that on the way home, that 180-mile drive home. Y'all pray for me, amen? All right. So, the Bible teaches us that Jesus couldn't get some things done because there was just a little bit of lack of honor and respect. They said, well, aren't you the carpenter's son? Ain't you been around here? Didn't you grow up here? And I want to encourage you never get to be so familiar with Pastor Josh and Angie that you see them as just alone as friends and not draw on the gift of the pastors in them, because God gave them that gift. How many agree? God gave them the ability to pastor. And with the ability to pastor, there's five kinds of pastors. And I have a biblical explanation for that. So you can fit Pastor Josh and Angie where you need to fit them. But there's pastors who are apostolic pastors. And they're driven to start stuff. That's why they never keep their complete eye where they're at, because they're always looking to plant something over here. They're planter-type pastors. And that's how God has raised them up. So they're always looking to do other things, other places, plus what they're doing. There's pastors. They actually believe they pastor the whole county, just that 80% of them ain't got there yet. And all they care about is the care of people, the community. They're so involved with what's going on in the entire community. Those kind of pastors are bent that way. Then there's teaching pastors, which all pastors teach to some great degree. And Pastor Josh is a really, really good communicator. How many can agree with that? There's teaching pastors where everybody's listening, taking notes, getting the downloads and the, what's all that things, computers you do today? Online screening? No, that's football. What is that? Yeah, podcast. Thank you. Podcast. It makes me think of dolphins in a pod. But anyway, or peas. But anyway, there's teacher pastors at the line online, people like on TVs that way, Creflo Dollar. Everybody's taking notes. And then there's evangelistic pastors where everybody's getting saved all the time everywhere because they're bent toward fivefold ministry. It's bent toward that. And then there are prophetic pastors. Now, prophetic pastors is black and white. Not a lot said. Sin is dealt with very quickly. And I'm so glad that God put the right kind of pastors here. Aren't you saying amen? To what we need here in Newark. Is that right? Newark or Newark? Well, I heard it sound like birds chirping. But all right, let's vote for let's vote here. Newark. 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 Okay, we took a whole vowel out of one whole vowel. All right. Newark. All right. But we're here on purpose, and God's given us a great, great thing to move forward with. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, he also gives apostles, pastors, just what I described, so people can grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Now, the Bible teaches us that when we come into the gift of the pastor and the appreciation of the pastor and receive that, now the pastor's more touched daily than any other of the fivefold ministry. The evangelist is not touching everyone daily. The evangelist is not visiting, developing teams and going to hospitals. The evangelist is not marrying and burying. The evangelist is not helping, getting calls at 3 in the morning that's been an accident, go to the hospital. The evangelist is not. And that's not necessarily part of their gifting. Neither is the apostle. Neither is all that. But the pastor, the hands-on, the shepherd is doing that. And how many believes we have wonderful shepherds here? Amen? So I just want to keep reminding you and I today what God has given you through Pastor Josh and Angie. And the Bible says in Jeremiah, when God gives shepherds of his own heart, Jeremiah 23, he said the first thing they're going to do is feed. They're going to feed. How many believes the word is fed clearly, anointedly, and simply here? How many can say that? Now here's what happens when you're fed the word and you receive it and faith begins to grow. Here's what happened. First of all, it says they'll fear no more. How many can honestly say, since I become a part of More Life, giving my life to Christ and set under this ministry, fears begin to leave my life. Fear about the future. Fear about what I'm going to do now. Fear about what's happening in the world. Because God is instilling faith, and faith is being released in your life. It also says, when you sit under a pastor, a pastoral gift, or a couple, it also says you won't be dismayed or confused like you used to be. So many questions have been answered by the Word of God. And confusion, which the devil's the author of all confusion, has started to go out the window. How many can say, since I've been a part of More Life, confusion has left? How many begin to see where you're at in Christ, what you have in Christ, your purpose in Christ? How many's beginning to understand it's not about going to church, but it's being the church? That's because you've had strong, godly leadership. That's because God has raised up a couple with your help and all the people who have worked so hard to develop leadership. Now, I don't know the whole story, but what's going on with the basket? Well, I don't mean that bad. I mean, my mother wasn't a Longaberger person. I had a cousin who went Longaberger crazy. She had them everywhere. Now, the person she married wasn't happy with them, but anyway. But beautiful baskets. How many here's a Longaberger person? You've collected and all that stuff. Anybody work for Longaberger? But, okay, well, the basket's there, and it's now not moving forward very much, right? I mean, it's and the entrepreneur, the creator, the guy, Longaberger, he passed away, right? So, I mean, did the leadership not just take it and go with it? No, I'm asking questions. Because let me tell you what happened with Moses. Moses raised up Joshua. And Moses, people want to smack on Moses, but Moses raised up Joshua, and he raised up some other great leaders. Moses stayed on that side of the river. Joshua crossed the river. But Joshua raised up no one. That's why we have the book of Judges behind the book of Joshua. And after he left, people all judged themselves in their own eyes and got in a mess. I just want you to grasp today the leadership God's put in this house. Pastor Josh and Angie, the leadership that God is growing with them. And he's even got a little gray hair in there. It makes him look a little more distinct. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. What God is doing is a tremendous thing, and everything evolves around you being able to grow. So I want to talk to you today about four ways to honor your pastor. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. Again, I'm not told to do this. I'm out on the own here. If he gets mad at me, he does. But how many knows it would take him a while to whip me, but it would be good. Four ways to honor our pastors. How many is in honoring, esteeming our pastors today? How many is ready to do that? This is Pastor Appreciation, guys, but the truth is we shouldn't have to wait till October of year to do that. We should have a system in place of just you and I doing as God leads and systematic things to bless them and honor them, because raising up the Pennington children couldn't be the easiest thing in the world to do. No, they're great kids. I've been pastoring 30 years. I married my wife. And she's been with me 28 years. We've had two wonderful children, and it's a fun ride. But there's a lot of things that happens in pastoring. A lot of things. Anybody here ever pastored? Okay. There's a lot of things that happen in pastoring that's funny and not so funny. It's very exciting. It's very rewarding. But some of us just, I'd rather this skit to explain it to you. So if you just watch this with me, you'll understand Monday morning after pastoring.
Hey, Pastor, thanks for seeing me. This is so great. I have been wanting to talk to you for quite a while, and to be right here with you right now is awesome.
Does it look like I have an appointment?
Being the children's minister, first the good news, because who doesn't like good news?
Listen, I've been looking at the numbers, and we are hurting, all right? We are bleeding with a capital B, okay?
I know you've been wanting to talk to me, but being the youth minister, I'm really busy, okay? I'm doing a lot of stuff.
But as building superintendent of this here church, I got a problem.
Singles ministry, it ain't working. No one's coming. You know it, and I know it.
There's only one thing I think this church is missing. Snakes.
I just wanted to confess to you, my pastor, that the Ten Commandments, I've done all of them. Okay, I've committed all of them, okay? Except murder.
I am the chairman of the deacons of this church.
This weekend we're doing a junior high lock-in. That is a great concept, isn't it? I mean, whoever thought of that? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
What if we rent out the left side of our auditorium to that new hipster church, huh?
Here's my letter of resignation. I'm going back to work at Starbucks because they give benefits.
The good news is, with VBS, we had so many kids involved, and 17 kids came to know the Lord.
Yay! I was here long before you got here.
The bad news is we've lost one of them, Timmy.
And I'll be here long after you're gone.
I need you to have my back, okay? I need you to have my back because, I mean, the seniors, they are on me. Not my senior high class, but the senior citizens, they do not like me.
We're not using it. You're not going to fill it up with your messages. And here's the simple truth. That could help us out. What do you say? Hip, hip, hipster away?
Get out of here, Sam. Just get out of here.
How about we let Carl here loose on some of our congregants? See who's without sin and who's not, huh?
I'm sure this happens a lot in churches, doesn't it? No? Okay.
And by the way, I can't get that smell out of the band.
So just have my back, okay? I'm really, really trying. I got a lot on my plate. Do you see that? God has been talking to me really big time. And I think he wants me to preach.
Adios, muchacho.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. Carl's out.
No hard feelings? Don't mind if I do. Thank you, sir. Is that cigarettes?
You need to get right with the Lord or get out of here, because that snake's poisonous. I'm not kidding. Carl!
Give it a hand clap. Yeah. Well, that's kind of like pastoring. How many say amen? growing up on the farm, you know, I had pigs and horses and cows and goats, and did have one goat. My brother tried to drown the goat, but didn't get it done. But I understand pasturing. But sheep, you're sheep. And how many know sheep are beautiful animals? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're beautiful. Everybody do that right now. Find somebody and say, you're beautiful. Or if you can't say that, find somebody and say, you smell good today. Go ahead, maybe just amen. But it's an honor to be a pastor. It's an honor to serve. And pastorship is really leadership, which is really serving God and serving you. Remember, we're honoring God, we're honoring the house, and now we're honoring our pastors. And I want to kind of wrap this thing up today with four ways, biblical ways, that we can honor our pastors. Four ways. How many wants to honor our pastors? You already are by being a part. You already are becoming, being faithful and giving. But we're talking about going over the top to bless them and encourage them and being a blessing unto them. Number one, we honor our pastors by supporting them. We honor our pastors by supporting them. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about the elders who are good leaders should be considered worthy of ample honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, for the worker is worthy of its wages. How many knows that we have more than ample feeding of the word here? Not only from here on the weekend, but in everything we do in foundations class and small groups and all of those things. And the Bible teaches us we honor by supporting them. Aren't you glad that Pastor Josh doesn't have to have an outside job to make it? Aren't you glad there's more than enough honor here that he and Angie can do what they need to do and raise these children and have a good life? How many say amen? Now, we have no trouble with Coach Meyer taking a nice vacation, do we? As long as the Buckeyes keep winning, how many say amen? We have no trouble with Coach Meyer having the shoe deal, do we? Do we? But sometimes we get over to church and some of that old religion tries to pile up on us. Well, you keep them preachers humble, they'll stay right with you. No, they won't. The average stay for a pastor in America right now is 2.8 years. No, they won't. No, they don't. I had eight pastors growing up. I don't know what it feels like. Just when you get used to one and remember his name, and then somebody else moves in, you can't remember his name. I mean, say amen. I live 50 miles from Louisville, Southern Baptist Seminary. We were a feeder house. We all knew we were a feeder house. We took in the young pastors as they were going to school, and basically we taught them how to love people. That's what the country churches did. That's just the truth. In that they grew, and we loved them. They loved us, and many of them went on and come back now and share, but so forth. 2.8 years. Aren't you glad Pastor Josh has been here, and Angie, how many years, guys? 12? 12 years. And you know what? There's something about digging one out of the earth. They're pioneers of this work. Dug it with a core of people, dug it out of the earth, and God brought it up. And now the roots have been shooting up. Now there's leaves and fruit where people can see. Newark is beginning to take great attention to More Life Church. This area, with the growth and the outreach and what you all do to help people, is catching attention. You're only 12 years old. We got churches in our county 186 years old. Old. That old they are. Still going. Some of them not going as well as others, but they're still going. Praise God. So we honor our pastors by supporting them. Number two, we honor our pastors by defending them. How many know sometimes just because you're pastoring and trying to do the best you can, everybody's not going to be super happy about everything? How many say amen? How many knows there's going to be persecution for righteousness' sake? How many knows things are going to happen? As a matter of fact, Paul talked about that, and he said there's people that's risen up against me that's caused me great harm. And he named them off. And he said, Alexander the coppersmith has done great harm to me. And he said, the Lord will pay him according to his work. But he said, watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words and our work. Anybody that opposes this work, anybody opposes what God's doing here, we take our place and prayerfully, we build a wall. We will not let that enter in. How many say amen? We protect with prayer. We protect with the word of God. We protect what God is doing. And he talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's not only the church member's job not only to provide and protect their pastors, but to love them. Let me give you a little story. Josh is very easy to get connected with, he and Angie. But actually, your mother's a little easier, you know, to me. Josh is a thinker. Pastor Pat's not a real good thinker. I'm a doer. Anyway, I was a linebacker. I was taught to react, hit somebody, knock them down, step on the helmet. But anyway, sorry, old school. That's before there was concussions. That's the reason I stumble around a lot in my mind and talk up here. I never had concussion protocol was from, do I have my hand up? Yep. So go back in. Anyway, Pastor Josh is a strategist. He's a thinker. How many say amen? He's articulate. You could take him up to the mayor's office in Columbus, and he'd make you proud. How many say amen? That's the way God built him. That's the way God created him. And he knew he would use those abilities to reach people. So what we're saying here today is all the different contrasts of the men and women in the Bible, Joseph and Moses and David and Jeremiah and Nehemiah and Deborah and Mary, everybody had different skill sets and different personalities. You're different on purpose. So when the personality and the gift set is challenged ever in your leadership, protect that. Say, we're thanking God they're the way they are. How many say amen? We're thanking God for their skill set. We're thanking God for the grace on their life. We're thanking God we can defend them. Number three, we honor our pastors by recognizing them. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this, verse 12. We ask you now, therefore, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you. Recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you. And basically, we want to do and be all we can for the church, but we want to honor the leaders of the church, and recognizing them as doing things that blesses them, takes them over the top. And again, back what I was saying about Pastor Josh, it makes you feel cool to be a part of what God is doing here, and cool people are a part, and not so cool people like me are a part, and old and young are a part. But I've also found out this, that sometimes we can get so familiar that we miss out on the gift on the inside of people, and we recognize more of the personality. So I want to say this to you. If you call Pastor Josh Josh, that's fine, as long as you and him are fine. But let me just say this to you. When you keep calling him Josh, you're going to get Josh. But when you call him Pastor Josh, you're going to receive all the gifting of heaven. And that's just a declaration. It's not a saying one's right or wrong. Because let me tell you, I grew up with a family doctor. I had the great blessing of an honor of burying him. And he was our family doctor for 50 years. And I went in one day with some slight cold or something that I didn't shake and that I didn't have the faith to deal with or whatever. And I went in and I was feeling full of myself. And this is not a good or bad thing. This is just a recognition. And I sat down there and I said, how you doing, Larry? And he looked at me. His name was Lawrence E. Oliver, L.E. Oliver. I'd never called him Larry before. And he looked at me, and he looked a lot like Johnny Bench, Coach. I mean, Dr. Oliver looked a lot like Johnny Bench. And he looked at me, and he birthed me. You know, he said several times, I should have done something with you when you come out. But anyway, he birthed me. He said, Pat, honey. When anybody down our way says honey, there's going to be something come behind it ain't real good. How many say amen? It's not like you want a biscuit and butter with your honey. He says, honey. I said, yes, sir. I knew I was in trouble. He said, do you need Dr. Oliver today to help you with your medical problem, or do you need Larry? I said, well, I don't breathe too good, and I'm congested. I said, I'd like to have Dr. Oliver today. He said, good. Just a thought. And I'm not telling you if you and Josh have that relationship, fine. But how many knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. This, that honor of calling the position of who it is and what it is and where they're at. So that's between you and him. That's just something rose up in me. And number four, lastly, we honor our pastors by loving them when they have an off weekend, when they fail, when something don't go right, when you start something and it doesn't happen right, or where there's a disappointment, or where there's a place of offense, or where there's an opportunity to get upset. We honor our pastors by loving them through the good times and the bad times. We honor them for their years of service. We honor them for standing in the gap. We honor them for never quitting on you. Because I want to tell you something. When I'm in the presence of Josh Pennington, he brags on you all. I'm so happy and proud of my church. I love my church. I love this people. I'm honored to serve them. That's what Josh says about you guys. Now, I know you're good people. I know you love Jesus, but you got to make a mistake once in a while. How many say amen? And God's love will never what? Fail. And the reason this church, one of the reasons this church grows so healthily and strength within it is because the love relationship you have with God and have with your pastors. I just want to prepare you when one day you look up and there's 1,500 coming. And when that thought comes, well, I'm not important anymore. It's got too big. I don't have a place anymore. All those things are lies. How many say amen? And when we keep building and building and doing these things, I just want to remind you of this is the day the Lord has made. I want to remind you this is a great time. And I want to remind you of don't despise the day of small beginnings, because the day this church reaches 1,500, and it will, how many believes that'll happen? Because there's more hurt out there than there is people know what's going on that's good. And they want answers. They're not going to get it from the government or from people on TV or Oprah. They're not going to get answers. Only answers you're going to get is from God and His Word that's going to last. I just want to encourage you in those times that we continue to love. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 13 that the pastor's job is to keep watch over you. Watch over you. How many believes the Penningtons have done a good job keeping watch over you and develop systems and protocol and so forth? And I remember growing up. I remember distinctly at times, one cow short. The Bible says Jesus will leave the 99 and go what? After the one. I remember all cows were counted for. I remember it was snowing. I remember it was cold. Not as bad as you guys got up here, but we get it pretty rough. And Dad said, well, one cow short, she's had a calf. We have to find her. I said, Dad, it's night. It's snowing. He said, son, we have to find her. And that's the kind of pastors that you have here. That'll do whatever it takes with systems and you guys. The Bible says our job is to see you guys raised up to do the work of the ministry. See, I was raised up where the pastors did all the work growing up. They mowed the yard, vacation Bible school, all burials, all weddings, all visitations. They did it all. That must be the reason 93% of all churches back in that time were 100 or under. That's about all a couple can take care of. But when you develop the gifts of the people, from young to old, to find their purpose and place, then multiplication comes. How many say amen? Amen. And there's only limits what we allow to be limited. So as we honor them by loving them and watching over them and regard them very highly for their work and love them through their work and let them know they're very valuable to us, he does not know we're doing all this. So if it's between me and him, he gets upset. So I need the ushers to pass out a card to everyone this morning. So my ushers, wherever they went, they are, there they go. Everybody gets a card. Please get a card. This is for next week. Everybody take a card, and I'll explain to you this card. This is about bringing a surprise sacrificial gift unto Pastor Josh and Angie next week, our pastors, and how you can bring it in together the last Sunday of the month of Pastor Appreciation Week, and be a great blessing unto them. Now, there's two sides to this thing. The first side just simply explains that you bring the envelope next week, or excuse me, this card next week. Grab an envelope if you get by check or cash. And keep the card with you there so you can bring it next week. And if you're giving by text, you can indicate that in the right bottom corner there in the white part, what amount that is for the records. On the back side, you get to write something you appreciate about Pastors Josh and Angie or about this church. You get to fill in this blank statement here of what this means to me, this church, what you mean to me, or something you've done or said, or just anything you want to write in there about the blessing it is to have the Penningtons as our pastors. So how many knows this is going to be a great surprise? How many knows you got all week to pray about what to write or what to do or what to sow? And look at your heart, and you got to bring that back. And then next week, we get to pile all these up, and the gentlemen who lead here will close the services out to three with this special offering that they'll know nothing about. And I'll tell you what, you'll have pastors going home that feel affirmed, that feel loved, feel recognized, and feel appreciated. And I believe they feel that already. How many can agree with that? But we're going to go over the top. The Bible says God is faithful to reward those who diligently seek Him. And this is a God-seeking church. And let me remind you, what you sow in deed and in finances will come back to you multiplied. How many can agree with that? So what a great day. What a great time to be part of a growing, thriving church where most churches in America are facing decline and we're growing. What a wonderful church to have teenagers in it, children's rooms filled, old people, young people. All shapes and sizes and colors. How many knows it's a diversified church? Amen? Except the Ohio State thing. But anyway, Anybody here, SEC follower, anybody like? Oh, thank God. You from Kentucky? Oh, God bless you, my child. Reach your hand out here, honey, so I can connect with you this morning. Oh, honey, let me. Are you from Lexington? Oh, well, hallelujah. All right, well. Amen. We're working on football, but praise God. How many's glad to be part of a family? Amen? How many's glad to be part of something bigger than you? How many's thankful for what God has started? And let's enjoy it. Before you leave today, tell someone how much you appreciate them. If you really appreciate them, tell them I'll take you down to, y'all have Denny's up here? Bob Evans? Let's go to Bob Evans. I don't have but $12. We'll sow it into them. Somebody sow it back into you. Just connect and share God's love in this place and do all God's called you to do. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.